Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Ready to feel more reassured about your future? Start or top up your pension today. Visit zurich.ie to learn more.
Now, right now, Sudan is facing one of the world's worst humanitarian crises. After 2.5 years of fighting, the city of El Fasher in Darfur has fallen to the paramilitary group Rapid Support Forces, leaving tens of thousands trapped and reports of mass violence emerging. Before we came on air, I spoke to Sheldon Yelt, spokesperson for UNICEF, and I first asked him what it was like on the ground in Sudan right now.
Well, I mean, the situation on the ground is grim and horrific. We are hearing reports from people who've left the city, the besieged city that had been under siege for some 18 months, reports of people going house to house, dragging them out, summary executions, rapes, extortion, all the kinds of horrors of war wrapped into a very tight ball. Everything you could imagine happening in circumstances like this are happening, I'm afraid.
There's a media blackout in place. There are no international journalists allowed on the ground. So in terms of what we're getting in terms of news reports from there, it's emerging in the form of these disturbing reports of videos, which have been verified by the New York Times and others, suggesting mass executions, attacks on the hospital in El Fasher. Have you been able to verify much during this time, Sheldon?
Well, we've certainly heard direct reports from those who are leaving the city of the kinds of executions, the kinds of violence, the kinds of atrocities that you're seeing in social media. There is no doubt that crimes are being committed. UNICEF is not an organization that verifies each individual video, but what we're seeing is very consistent with the reports that we're hearing from survivors coming out of the city.
Now, this capture of El Fasher comes after an 18-month siege, doesn't it, that's trapped civilians in Darfur. Can you paint the picture for us? What are children and families facing day to day there?
This indeed was a large city that had been completely encircled, under siege for over 600 days. No food could get in, no medical services could get in. None of the basic services that a population would depend on were available. And now this very population has been subject to the most acute violence imaginable. You've seen reports of what's happening. You've seen the attacks against infrastructure, the bombings, or the artillery. So children there are suffering the direct effects and the scars of that violence, the scars that will be with them for the rest of their lives. We know that many children have been separated from their parents, separated from their mothers. We know that many children have died.
And we're hearing indeed of researchers of this current situation that the level of violence right now is comparable to the first 24 hours of the Rwandan genocide. Does that surprise you, Sheldon?
Well, I was working in Rwanda during the genocide. And yes, there are echoes of what we saw in Rwanda, except here we're seeing people getting killed by machine guns, not machetes. It's the same kind of massive hate-filled spasmodic violence.
How are you managing to reach people then who need help? You've identified these civilians who have been going without, who've been living in a dreadful state and enduring a terrible situation for the past 600 days or so. Are there any safe routes for them?
Well, there are a couple of routes out of the city, but I wouldn't call them safe routes. People trying to leave are still subject to extortion, to kidnapping, to sexual violence. We're hearing very alarming reports of widespread sexual violence. So it's very difficult to escape. They're coming to communities like Tuwila and other communities nearby, where host communities are taking them in. But the communities themselves that are taking this population themselves are under need. These are very, very poor people who themselves need humanitarian assistance.
Can you give us a little bit of background, you know, for people who aren't aware, as we've talked about, this has been an 18-month siege. What people are enduring in Sudan is horrific, but not everyone fully understands the severity of it. And you have been working on the ground there. So, I mean, what have you seen in terms of the politics, the fighting, and how this has escalated and come to this point now, Sheldon?
Yeah, I mean, this was a population, an innocent population, that couldn't get access to services and had been reduced to eating animal feed. They're now coming out. They're coming out in very, very poor condition, many severely malnourished. We already had famine in the city because of the lack of food there. They're traumatized. Many of them don't want to speak. They're petrified. They're worried about retribution. It's an extremely alarming situation and not going away. And of course, we're all focusing on the horrific scenes in Al-Fashir, but there are other parts of the country too, where the front lines are moving to. We're seeing and hearing about atrocities in the Kordofans and elsewhere in Sudan. Mm-hmm. So I'm afraid it's much broader than just one city.
The United Nations and Western officials have issued statements over the past 24 hours, as you may be aware, condemning the RSF. But how effective are these statements and condemnations at this point? It's international support, I imagine, that is needed.
We must condemn violations of international humanitarian law, the kinds of atrocities we're seeing here. But condemnation enough is not enough to stop the war. We need to make sure that these people are held accountable. We need to make sure that those countries, those regions, those players who are providing weapons are stopped. We need to pound the tables here. We need foreign ministers calling each other and paying attention to this. You know, it's astounding to me. The newspapers are full of what's going on with the royal family or cyclones in the Caribbean. But no one seems to be noticing what is happening on the ground in Sudan.
Yeah, and I'm seeing here and reading here about this civil war that has forced 12 million people from their homes. It's spread famine, as you have painted the picture to us right now on the airwaves. It's spread famine right across the country. It has killed as many as 400,000 people by some estimates.
That's right. And the people seem not to notice this. But if we don't pay attention, if we don't provide the resources that are required, if we don't put pressure on those warring forces and the powers that support them, this is just going to continue to ripple across Sudan, across the region, and around the world to other countries. It's a conflict that is not going away.
And when you see the response then of these rapid support forces, the RSF, categorically denying carrying out killings. They said this was part of an intensive propaganda campaign with no connection to reality. And yet we have these videos emerging purporting to show the hospital in Al-Fashir, saying that it had countered claims of these attacks. I mean, there is not just a war happening, but a propaganda war as well, Sheldon.
Absolutely. There's no shortage of disinformation on social media, of course, and it's important to verify accounts. But there is no doubt that atrocities are happening here. There's no doubt that killings are happening here. There's no doubt that there are massive violations of international humanitarian law. And again, people need to be held accountable.
All right. In terms of what you're looking for now, is it funding? Is it that political pressure that you speak of? What does UNICEF need?
All of the above. First of all, we need peace. We need an end to this conflict. We need people to be able to leave the centers of conflict and get protection elsewhere within in Sudan. We need the resources to be able to provide support, the nutrition support, the health support, the protection support to this population. We need accountability, and we need to be able to get our teams and our supplies where they need to go.
Sheldon Yalt, spokesperson for UNICEF, speaking to us from the ground in Sudan. Thank you.